Out of the Gate is all about story sharing. I'm Henrietta Pepper, hailing from the bluegrass state of Kentucky and inviting you to listen to and share personal stories of faith, family, and friends. This is a community for you to weigh in on shared reflections, which ultimately will ignite new conversations and story creation. I encourage you to join this conversation. Soak it all in, connect with what drives you forward, and get inspired to share with others.
Hello out there. Super excited to be celebrating our 1 year anniversary of the launch of Out of the Gate, what inspires us, drives us forward. So having a special guest here today from the Backside Learning Center to tell us more about the endeavor and all the great things that it's doing for our community and the city in general. So stay tuned for more activities from Out of the Gate. We're going to be doing some events. We're going to be doing other podcasts throughout the holidays. So stay tuned for more information. Tune into our social media channels, our website for more information. Hello, everybody. Welcome today. Sherry Stanley, Executive Director of the Backside Learning Center right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Super excited to have Sherry representing the center today because, audience, you may not know this, since the beginning of the launch of Out of the Gate book, we have been committed to the Backside Learning Center by giving a portion of the proceeds of the book directly back to the Backside Learning Center and provided a check, $1,000 last year, and we are on point to give that same amount at the end of this year. So we have an ongoing relationship with the center, and it's just been a joy watching all the great work happen there, Sherry. So tell us a little bit about the center and kind of its history and how it came about.
Sure. The Backside Learning Center has been in existence since 2004, and we were originally a sort of a semi-autonomous program under the 501c3 umbrella of the Kentucky Derby Museum.
Gotcha.
So as the population of workers on the backside really during the 90s began to shift from primarily U.S.-born African-American workers to more Latino workers, there was a real concern about communication, of course. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're doing a really technical, important job caring for these, you know, huge animals that are critical to Kentucky's culture and economy. Right. And then there was a language barrier. Spanish speakers coming in from Latin America and the trainers and assistants. So really that was the initial purpose of the Learning Center, was to have English classes. So it was an initiative of Churchill Downs and the Derby Museum as a partnership. Then fast forward to 2016, we were able to get our own 501c3. So we've been an independent organization since then. And really since that time, our growth has just exploded. We began family programming in 2014, and that was a really important moment for us. Prior to that, we really served as a community center. We would have just really a place for people to gather on the backside and receive, you know, assistance with just questions people had, filling out paperwork. We call ourselves a home away from home because people are thousands of miles from their families often. Yeah. And just a place where they can feel welcome and have a place to come and be with other people, have a social life, and just feel like they're part of the community. So we had classes, services, community events. Then in 2014, we started family programming. And that was extremely critical because that was an existing gap that I started there in 2013 and just really wanted to wipe the slate clean and figure out what the community needed us to be. So that was an obvious gap that existed that we needed to fill immediately. And we had, you know, it's about 30% women on the backside, but we had very few women coming through our doors.
Wow.
Just because they would have family obligations and oftentimes children, and families live outside the gates of Churchill. So again, about 600 people live on the grounds, but kids aren't allowed to come onto the backside. So they live in the very close vicinity of Churchill Downs. Yeah. So we started an after school program. Very comprehensive, holistic programming for youth and families. And that is really a primary focus of what we do now.
So when I was thinking about having our guest, Sherry, here today with us, I reflected back on a couple of stories in the book that really punctuated kind of the importance of all aspects of the track, but specifically more of the humanity behind the scenes. The backside in and of itself is its own community. It's a community of hard workers. It's a community of families. It's a community of children and children's children. It is a community of supporters, and that comes in the form of volunteers from all parts of our community right here in Louisville, Kentucky. So I reflected again on a story about last year's Kentucky Derby and kind of the shift in tonality that that whole event took because of the COVID dynamic and just, I think, the dynamic of Derby itself. It kind of flipped on its head in a positive way. So I thought I'd share a little bit about that story as we get into our conversation with Sherry. The vibrant paddock would be filled with cigars on a normal basis. Oak lilies, mint juleps, guys and gals with their beer carts, and pop-up vendors displaying their wares. After all, those are the sights and sounds that make Kentucky Derby so special, right? Yeah, maybe on the surface. However, 2020 presented an entirely new perspective on the spectacle of spectacles. As the afternoon unfolded, it was as if the pageantry and the materialistic facets had been lifted. Indeed, it was the spirit of humanity that was rising to the occasion. Jockeys proclaimed their gratitude for just being healthy and able to do their jobs. They expressed their desire for human equality in this uncertain time. Breeders and owners, trainers, seemed to rally around each other as though to overtly demonstrate the compassion, heart, and soul that is at the core of the thoroughbred industry spanning over centuries. All were quick to point out the skill and the dedication of the unsung heroes working on the backside of the track. Emotions were high, tears were shed unapologetically on major news networks. Accolades were verbalized for the otherwise non-visible folks that make the horses safe, cared for, and prepared for their big day. Sentimental stories were shared about family and friends navigating through those difficult times. So that's exactly what the backside is really all about. It's compassion, it's education, it's being a part of our community fabric. And so it just, again, punctuates the important work that Backside Learning Center is doing. So we were talking earlier, it is kind of its own city within the city, right? Mm-hmm. So it is very family-centric. So tell me a little bit more deeper about the family program.
So the majority of our family makeup, and again, every family is different, but it's primarily U.S.-born kids who are first-generation to Spanish-speaking parents. So we have a very large population from Guatemala, and then in Mexico would be second, and then immigrants make up about 80% of the whole workforce. And really that is the community that really seeks out our services. We have a satellite site, so you know, we couldn't, again, offer any programs or services on the track.
Right.
So we had to look for a place to rent off-site. We found a church that actually rents us an entire floor, so it's really ours. It's in the Beachmont neighborhood. And we have, well, actually, you know, we have kind of pre-COVID what we were, what we are now, yeah, and what we're going to be moving forward.
Yes.
So it's an after-school program. Our staff works a lot with parents kind of navigating JCPS. We have a very, I guess, unique school system in that, you know, we have schools that are clustered. You can apply to different schools that you want to go to. We have a lot of magnet programs and high schools and middle schools that are specialized. So navigating all of that is pretty difficult. I had a hard time understanding that myself
with
my own kids.
Yeah.
So communicating with parents, just really trying to facilitate that involvement of parents in their children's education. Our parents are extremely driven and wanting their kids to succeed and to take advantage of every opportunity that's available to them here in this country. So really kind of navigating those career options, you know, it's really from early childhood education, starting at 3 months old up to, you know, we have kids that have now gone into college. So really that span of ages for education, enrichment activities. We do a lot of environmental education. We have just kind of regular sort of health and wellness as well as woven into all of our programming. And during COVID, of course, things were very different. We had to put the brakes on anything in person. Mm-hmm. We had to get really creative. Spring of 2020, we started a bike brigade to get around that obstacle of transportation.
Yeah.
And our staff would go house to house picking up kids on their bikes, and they would all meet in a parking lot of the church where we have our family program and do, STEM activities. So, just getting exercise. We have a lot of social and emotional learning activities and development, housing, financial, really runs the gamut of anything under the sun that our families need that we can support them with. We are there to do that.
And so how do you facilitate those programs through staff, volunteers, et cetera? So for the folks listening in, how can they get involved?
So we do have a staff, 5 people that are dedicated to the family program. And several of those are part-time staff. We have 2 college students who are just, incredible U of L students that are now very interested in working in the nonprofit realm. Sure. So we have those staff, but again, we have grown from about 5 families when we first started our family programming in 2014, and now we have about 85 plus families. So all of that individual assistance, tutoring, mentoring, transportation, just lots of different areas, is carried out by volunteers. So we're always looking for volunteers. We're going to start our after-school program up again in January for the first time in almost 2 years. We're doing drives for the holidays. We're going to do care packages, kind of gift baskets for every single family. So we're looking for clothes hampers. We want to do kind of a laundry basket for every single family. So we're looking for 100 donated laundry baskets that we're going to fill with food items, gift cards, a frozen chicken for every family. And, fruit, we did this last year and it was incredibly successful. So we have opportunities for the holidays, of course. Just in terms of general involvement, other than volunteering, we have many fundraising events. We have an online auction. We also have many committees that are part of our board of directors, but they're made up of community volunteers, members of our board, and members of our staff. So there are opportunities to get involved on a higher kind of more leadership level as well. Many, many opportunities to get involved.
So you mentioned businesses. I mean, that's how I got involved. One of the companies I used to work for, that was one of the areas that they supported. And so we had a troop of volunteers that went out. Then we had people who were mentoring, et cetera. So it's a great way to get involved if you do have a cause-based part of philanthropy within your business. I know you are open to have people come in and visit and kind of see firsthand the work you're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to get exposed to the center. Are you back up open now? Full steam ahead?
Kind of, sort of. And we've never closed our doors the entire time during COVID.
Yeah,
we've had to shift things significantly. So we do have in-person English classes. So I've talked a lot about family programming. We have significant programming for adults as well. So English classes, which we're doing in person. We do have a vaccine requirement and people are still wearing masks in class. We have a coaching mentoring program for adults now. We've had in the past a conversation partners program, which, we haven't been able to start that back up again since COVID, but this could be an opportunity with our mentoring program for people who want to practice Spanish. So it's really just kind of a way to develop a friendship, a relationship with someone on the backside and for them to get to know someone in our community better. But you just really, it's a pretty informal conversation hour where you practice half the time in English and half the time in Spanish.
I love the conversation part of it because you're right. You can practice in the classroom. It's just not the same when you're trying to have the conversation. So speaking of conversation and kind of storytelling, which is the genesis of Out of the Gate book, we were talking about the beautiful, rewarding stories that come out of the center almost every day. You were telling me about, from an educational standpoint, you had a story of a young woman who's been with you for a while. Mm-hmm. And do you mind sharing the story?
Sure. So again, we started our family programming in 2014 with no funding. We just kind of said, this has to happen and we're going to do it and put this program together and hopefully the funding will follow, which has luckily happened. So the day that we opened our doors at this satellite site, we had maybe 5 families there. So it was parents who would go to English classes or have a tutor in English, and then the kids would receive homework help with volunteers. Gotcha. So one of our girls. Her name's Evelyn. She was maybe in middle school at the time. And her and her mom, who are very close, her mom has worked for trainer Carl Nafsker for about 18 years as a groom. Just a really incredible, incredible family. And they were one of our original families in our program. Then Evelyn ended up going to Atherton High School, had a great experience. We had a volunteer that helped her with doing her her essay for her application and all the steps to get into that high school. And then Evelyn was a volunteer with our family program. Then fast forward, Evelyn graduated from college, graduated from high school, the first person in her entire extended family to ever graduate high school. And unfortunately, that graduation happened during COVID. So all of our staff went to their house and she had her cap and gown. And we did a little party for her out in the yard of their home. Then she applied to U of L. And again, we were very involved in the whole process. And even her mom's trainer, Carl Nafsker, he and his wife are very big advocates for education. Right. And that's really the foundation of everything we do is education.
Yeah.
So they are actually helping provide scholarship money to Evelyn for her 4 years at U of L. Again, you know, during COVID, her first year of college was all virtual. And I think she was working 3 jobs during that time. And now she's in her second year. She's a sophomore now at U of L, wants to go into the medical field. And we are working closely with her. She's just a very bright, motivated young girl.
Inspiration for her whole family and for the people who are working with her.
Absolutely.
What a great story. Tell us about some of your other partners that are, you mentioned U of L, obviously, the JCPS. Who else are you connected with in the community that's a big part of your program?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, we would not be able to do what we do without community partners. We have so many partners who come in and carry out programming with our kids. We've worked with the Louisville Ballet, for example, Kentucky Shakespeare, the Speed Museum, the KMAC Museum, our local libraries. Equine Trail Advocates had a camp last summer. It was like a 6-week camp. And our kids got to ride horses and learn about horses for the first time. Peace Education Program, Bernheim Forest, the list goes on and on. Dare to Care. We have weekly fresh food markets at the track. During COVID, we worked with a lot of healthcare entities such as Norton's, U of L Health, Doctors for Healthy Communities. Mm-hmm. We had a huge health fair where people had access to vaccines, COVID tests, physical exams. So we really started getting more into the area of health and wellness during COVID. And I think that is going to remain a permanent focus of what we do. And just a lot of education around, you know, the importance of getting vaccines and, you know, just mitigating COVID in general. So we have our program partners and then we have kind of our institutional partners. So again, U of L Equine Business Program is a really important partner for us. We also work with the Latin American Studies Program, Spanish Department, Louisville Thoroughbred Society.
Yeah.
And we have a really exciting partnership that we're working on with them. And, you know, again, it just takes
it's
a village.
It's just all tentacles because you are this surround sound entity. It really touches all parts of their life. I love the fact that the arts are involved.
Yes,
the ballet
absolutely.
And the Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, again, it sounds like you can use financial help. You can use volunteer help. You are putting these baskets together for the holidays. If people wanted to give back in that way, that's a way they can give back. Well, I am just honored to be a part of what you're doing. It's just you all really embraced it and embraced the book. So I want to thank you and your staff for that. It's been nice getting to know you too.
Yes, for sure. And we thank you. I mean, it's such an honor to be part of this. And really, we so appreciate the support that you all are giving to our organization and the recognition of this community as really such a central, you know, we always say the backside community is the backbone of the horse racing industry.
It certainly is. That's a great, great articulation of that. And people forget, too, that they're just not working there. They're living there and they have families like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so taking care of the families at its core, I think, is central to our community. Mm-hmm. They're part of our community.
Yes.
So it's such a great vision and mission. And so we applaud you for the work you're doing. Tell us, if somebody's interested in learning more, where are some communication vehicles they can check out?
So you can, our website is www.backsidelearningcenter.org. We are on social media, Backside Learning Center. You can just Google us. All of our contact information is on our website, backsidelearningcenter.org.
Perfect. And I know that there's a wonderful short video that really tells your story on this site, and it gives a good snapshot of all of the things you're doing. But if you're not already inspired by hearing our conversation, you will definitely be inspired after watching that video. I've watched it probably 15 times now. Tear up every time.
Yes,
it's just rewarding and so inspiring.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. We'll be in touch. Thanks
okay.
for joining
That's
us.
That's great. Thank you.
Be sure to visit our website at outofthegatebook.com to stay updated on upcoming podcasts, events, and the launch of my new book, Out of the Gate: What Inspires Us, Drives Us Forward.